Now, dictionaries change from year to year. They're living documents. Merriam-Webster recently released their new batch of 370 words and definitions that it says have cemented themselves in popular usage to the point that they're worthy of being added to their dictionary. How does that process actually work? Who makes the call? For some words, does getting printed in the dictionary make them less cool somehow? We're going to get some answers and talk about some of these quote-unquote new words, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you look forward to when these new words come out? An interesting point of curiosity for you. Have you seen some of the latest on the list? Is there a word that's new to you, dictionary or not, that you've come across in slang or technology or food? Hot or not? Do you like the word or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And is there a word that you use maybe in your family or your workplace that's maybe unique to you and your local circle, but it serves a purpose? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@WPR.org. Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett are co-hosts and co-producers of the radio show A Way with Words. You can hear them every Sunday morning at 9 here on the Ideas Network. Martha's written books on word origins and has a background in ancient Greek and Latin. Martha, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Rob.
And Grant is a lexicographer and linguist specializing in slang and new words. Grant, good to talk to you again.
Hello.
Martha, okay, the dictionaries, they do this every year, sometimes more often, these new words. I grew up, I think I thought the dictionary was the rule book, right? These are the words we have in the English language. These are the ones you can use. That's not really how it works. It's kind of a reflection of a changing language, right?
Exactly. That's a great word, reflection, because the dictionary just reports what's out there. It's more like, well, we used to have phone books. I guess we don't really have them anymore, but it's more like the phone book than the social register, you know, telling you what you should and shouldn't use. It's a record of how we speak.
And Grant, you've done some work actually producing dictionaries. What can you tell us about the process of determining whether a word makes the cut?
Oh, I could talk for hours about it, but in brief...
He has.
Yeah.
I have.
He does.
The brief version of it is it's a very thoughtful process. It's a lot of very bright people spending a huge amount of time, like more time than you can possibly imagine, reading and discussing and gathering data and really thinking about what the public would want to look up. And so they read a wide variety of subject matter. They record all the new uses and all the new words that they find. They put them in databases. Sometimes they record them in physical files. For example, Merriam-Webster has a physical file card catalog of more than 15 million cards that you can see if you visit their campus. And then when it comes time to update the dictionary, they go through and say, well, where are we? What's happening in the world right now, or where in the alphabet are we? And they go through and they say, well, this is happening and this is happening. And in that way, these incredibly bright and thoughtful people, I mean, this is not something that they take lightly, put these words on the table and argue with a passion that you cannot imagine. I mean, and humor and grace and goodwill about what should be included. And so every word that is included in these new words list is the product of this a spirited process, a generous process. And trust me when I say that these people who put this together, it's a battle. It's a win and a loss every time a word does and doesn't make it.
We'll talk more about the process, but I want to get a taste of some of these new words in the dictionary. And Martha, yeah, let's get a taste of some of the food-related words they've added. Now, here's one. It's two words that were already there, pumpkin and spice, but they're now defining pumpkin spice as a definable phrase. Could you talk about that a little?
Well, yeah, they are indeed, right? For better or for worse. It seems like that just came out of nowhere a few years ago. And now, you know, it's something that you expect, especially in October. Another food word that caught my eye, that or a food term that's recently been added to the dictionary, is oat milk, because that is what we call in language a retronym. It's a new term for an existing object or idea to distinguish it from a later development or invention. Like, for example, you know, we used to just talk about guitars, and now we talk about electric guitars and acoustic guitars. Or we talk about, you know, we used to talk just about radio, but now you have clock radios and car radios. So now also you have soy milk, almond milk, oat milk, and another retronym that was recently added that's not exactly food related, but it's meat space. You know this one, right?
Meat space is, as opposed to like being on a virtual meeting, right? We're in a place particular, right? Do I have that roughly right?
Yeah, meat space is the real physical world.
Okay.
It's the world of flesh and blood, as opposed to cyberspace. And meat space has been around since the early 1990s or so. So yeah,
oh, yeah.
Right, we might say, you know, let's get together with Grant in meat space. So we're not online. We're actually in a coffee shop.
We're I feel
not
like that was in
Rocky Balboa in a butcher's.
Right. Well, that could be a meat space in a meat space, definitely.
Yeah, it could be.
Now that's I feel like that was around an early cyberpunk writing, right? And so Grant, what's with the time lag there? A phrase that's been around for a long time could take a long time to end up rising to a dictionary's attention.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about dictionary editors and lexicographers being very careful. They don't really jump the gun. Sometimes they're accused of putting these fly-by-night words in there, but the best lexicographers don't do that. They wait. A word has to prove itself. It has to show up for a long period of time across a wide variety of media used across a large spectrum of society, and it really needs to. It really has to have legs, as they say. That's one of my favorite expressions. It has to really show itself. I look at something, speaking of retronyms, something like dumbphone. How long have we been saying smartphone? Well, dumbphone is a retronym of smartphone. It's a phone that is modern but doesn't have any of the smartphone features, and that has been around forever. Even a term like shrinkflation has been around for a while, but it had to prove itself. And you know, it wasn't included just because it's become more commonly known in recent years, because it's not new. Even janky, which is on this year's Merriam-Webster list, dates to the 1960s. Janky meaning trashy or broken or badly made. So it really has got to show endurance, longevity.
We're talking to Grant Barrett and Martha Barnett from A Way with Words, looking at a batch of new words that entered, in this case, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, but also how words start and enter a language. And you could join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Clem is with us in Portage. Clem, hi.
Well, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. What do you got for us, Clem?
Well, I got an e-nuke word for you. It's very, especially e-nuke word, which means unique. But since everybody's modifying the word unique, I figured I would make up a new word to mean absolutely, solitarily unique, which is, of course, the meaning of the word.
Clem, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Unique, I think people talk about it being watered down, like it could be, you know, comparatively unique. It's not one of a kind, but close. Now, Clem's trying to coin something. Martha, can we make Inuk a thing?
By boy.
Fetch, it worked for Fetch, right?
Can That's we make a Inuk? Cozy place to read your ebook, isn't it? An Inuk?
That's you know, Clem makes a good point that a lot of people use the term unique and add the very to it, which sort of changes the meaning a little bit. But that's pretty much entrenched in the language now. You know, I mean, sticklers will say if something's unique, it's the only thing like it in the universe. Or the metaverse, or the multiverse. I think maybe you would need one of those compound German words with lots of syllables. I think he was starting down that path. Solitary, absolutely unique.
Definitely. Clem, thanks for that call. Now, he's trying to coin, I think, a slang term, Grant. And I understand you are I seem to recall you're a big fan of slang terms entering the language. You mentioned janky as one of those. Anything else on the new list hitting you from the world of slang?
Well, you know, I'm going to call her out, but your producer, Sarah, said that she uses yeet, even though she's 29, and I hardly endorse
She's not
yeet.
Lying.
And Yeet's another one of those. It's older than you think. It's from at least as early as 2007 as an interjection, expressing surprise or approval or enthusiasm. And then it was turned into a verb because you would shout it as a interjection when you would throw something. So now it means to throw. And it's kind of the opposite of yoink, which means to take something suddenly. And it's weird because we all thought, I say we, meaning people who studied the changing lexicon, we all thought it was just going to burn out as fast as something like bling bling did, but it really looks like it might stick around for a while because it's still lurking. Martha and I just did a school visit in Huntsville, Alabama, and it turned up on a bunch of the cards of slang submitted by the high school kids there. So they're not done with it yet.
We're talking to Grant Barrett and Martha Barnett, co-hosts and co-producers of the radio show A Way with Words. Check it out on the Ideas Network Sunday mornings at 9. And we're talking about new words being added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and other dictionaries. We're also talking about how words make it into language in the first place, too. They get yeeted into the language. Is that Sarah? Thumbs up? No. Yeah, okay, great. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered a word that was new to you recently? Friend or foe, did you like it or not? Do you have questions for our guests about words and how they come to be in general? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret, here now with co-hosts of Away with Words, Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett, talking about word origins and new dictionary words after Merriam-Webster announced the latest edition, 370 new words and definitions. Go back to your many calls at 800-642-1234. Valerie is with us now in Eau Claire. Valerie, hi.
Hello. The word I'm looking at is scrum. So my daughters both played rugby, and the scrum is when the group works together to move the ball. Well, one of the daughters is now working for a company, and she is a scrum manager for her group of coworkers.
And I'm guessing, Valerie, that doesn't mean that her business has a rugby team. It means something completely different, right?
It means completely different that she is, I mean, it's still a group working towards a common goal, but that's the first time I had ever heard anything in business as being a scrum manager.
Interesting. Valerie, thanks a lot for that call. Martha, as I think about it, I guess this probably happens. You know, we might huddle up at a team meeting at a workplace. Sometimes phrases go from the sports world to business and elsewhere.
Yeah, how interesting. I mean, how interesting. Think about baseball, for example. There's so many terms that have been adopted into the business world and elsewhere from baseball, you know, hitting a home run, for example, or touching all the bases. Scrum manager is a new one on me. Have you heard it, Grant?
Yeah, it's part of a project management methodology that it really started to take hold in Silicon Valley and then those sorts of businesses. And involves certain kinds of principles that I won't get into here about how to manage a process of developing a project so that all parts of the project are respected and all people in the process get their due. So that it's not a top-down process, it's a through-and-through process. I mean, I know that I've shorted it and scrum managers are now shouting at the radio, but it's an established project management philosophy, which you can buy books on and get training in.
As Valerie was talking, I was looking up Scrum Master, and I got to say the descriptions I'm seeing are using a language that identify as English, but very much corporate speaker.
You know, Six Sigma and all that stuff from back in the day, it's reminiscent of that. It's you sometimes wonder if it isn't selling shovels to the gold miners. It's more about the getting paid to teach the training than it is about actually getting the training that go well, if that makes sense.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for that call, Valerie, at 800-642-1234. Kevin joins us next in Viroqua. Kevin, hi.
Hi.
What words do you have for us today, Kevin?
Oh, well, one from each side of the family. My mother's side used a term, and it was slaunch-wise. I don't know how she spelled it. But it referred to slaunch-wise was anything that's kind of cockeyed, especially if Dad was lying diagonally on the bed. He was sleeping slaunch-wise. And The other is feble, F-E-B-B-L-E, referring to small fluttering white moths that annoy people inside the house. That's from my wife's side of the family, the feble.
Unique to your family, Kevin. Martha, I dimly remember, did we talk one time about sort of those unique words that we have in our own little communities, whether it's a family or group of friends or something like that? Is that something that a lot of people do?
Oh, of course. Yes, I think every family has its own language and own code and words that are invented by children, for example, and you just keep saying them because they're just so cute and they're little souvenirs of their childhood once they get older. Febbles is the word?
Febble was the little fluttering insect that we don't know the name of for real, I guess. Yeah.
Boy, I don't know that. It reminds me of greebles, which are those little things, those little balls of lint in your pockets.
There's actually a word for the little balls of lint in my pocket?
I believe there is.
Greebles? Oh, that's also the name of what the cats seem to be chasing when they go crazy in the house and you can't see what the invisible spirits are that they're looking at and nobody else can see. Greebles.
Wait, oh, those are greebles, not febbles. And then the other word, slaunchwise, has been around for a while. That's dialectal term that has to do with something being slanted or off. A lot of people use the word catawampus or antigoglin or psigoglin, but they're all words for something that's kind of askew, you know, like a picture frame that's not quite hung correctly.
Yeah, it's got about 200 years history in the United States, slaunchwise.
So, Kevin, that one, I think it was your mother-in-law, isn't making it up. She's actually got a way with words. We're talking to Grant Barrett and Martha Barnett from A Way with Words. Check them out on the Ideas Network Sunday mornings at 9. We're talking about new words entering the language, entering the dictionaries, and you are sharing yours at 800-642-1234. Steve joins us next in Hayward. Hi, Steve. Are you there, Steve?
Hello.
Yeah, go for it, Steve. Yes. What's your word for us today?
My word is E-E-W-E-E. It's spelled I-I-W-I-I, and it stands for it is what it is.
Oh, okay. And is this is something that you say to other people?
Yeah, as far as I know, I made it up. And,
okay.
Because we were in a circumstance where we needed to... Someone said this so often that we've shortened it to ee-wee-ee. And so it was a little snarky, but I was just curious. I listened to your program on Sundays and love it. And just curious if you've heard of this before, or if in fact I did make it up.
Okay. So first of all, that particular word acronym, I guess, Martha and Grant, and also is this a pretty common way that words happen, that they're, in the case of ee-wee-ee, abbreviations like that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the one that comes to mind for me is WYSIWYG. You know, what you see is what you get. Or WOMBAT, which is a waste of money, brains, and time. I mean, I think some of those, it's just easier to say the abbreviated version. And I'm certainly going to adopt EEWEE. Makes perfect sense to me.
A quick Google turns up a few places where people have used it. And it actually looks like somebody has trademarked it. But
uh-oh.
That stop you.
Yeah, just keep it on the down low, Steve. Don't call into public radio shows and admit that you're using that trademark phrase, whatever you do. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. How about Laura next in Madison? Laura, hi.
Hi. I was calling about the word biweekly or bimonthly, and it always bothered me. What gives? I mean, it's so confusing. And the same thing with winterize. Sometimes it means close down for the winter. Other times it means adapt for the winter. So why is that?
Well, I'm guessing Laura is the only person who's ever had a problem with bimonthly and biweekly, right?
Our advice is usually, Laura, just give it up. Don't bother. Don't
twice
use the
a
word.
Week.
Just put it in a frame and put it on the wall and admire it and just say every other week or every 2 weeks and move on or twice a week. Just avoid all confusion that way.
All right. Okay. If she really wants to. Martha, do you have a rule or no?
No, there's no rule. You're just going to have to explain it every time. That's the problem with it. You're going to have to say biweekly. And by that, I mean.
Right. Yeah. There's really no way around it except a word around it.
All right.
You're always going to have somebody show up at the wrong time.
Excellent. Thanks for that call, Laura. Peter joins us now in Milwaukee. Peter, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, I have a couple of comments and then a quick question. So I think I actually have a couple of new words for you to consider, but I'll give you those at the end to keep you.
We just got a little bit of time. Hit us with your main thing, Peter.
The main thing I wanted to talk about is the diminution of the language related to what people think are new words but are really incorrect usages, and also adding words that don't make any sense at all. So your guest mentioned the concept of oat milk. Well, I'm from Wisconsin. I come from a dairy family, and I know for a fact that milk is the food product created by the mammalian class of animals and not some juice of a fruit or vegetable, okay?
Peter, I got you. We're just about out of time. Language is, you mentioned oat milk was added to the dictionary here. Language can be contentious. Who wants to bring us out with that?
Yeah, but more than one thing. Just, for example, that meat, the word M-E-A-T, those same cows give us meat. Meat used to mean all food, not just the muscle matter. So, and what about the, you know, the... when you read the Bible, milk is used to mean more than milk of the cow. Huh. So there's lots of things that milk can mean.
All right. And Martha, 30 seconds, a trend you're watching for in new word creation.
Oh, boy, a trend I'm watching for. It's not exactly new word creation, but somebody told me the other day that they liked my drip. And I said, what?
Oh, yeah, that was a high compliment, Martha. You must have been really styling.
Well, I figured out eventually that it was a compliment because it's a word, of course, that we've known historically to mean, you know, drops falling. But if you like somebody's drip, you like how they're styling. Yeah, how they're dressing. It's like they're dripping with diamonds. But that's something I heard from a 20-something, and I was very happy once I actually learned the meaning of that word.
No one has ever said that to me. Thanks to our guests today, Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett, co-hosts of Away with Words. Check them out Sunday mornings at 9 here on the Ideas Network. Keep sharing your favorite words. Email ideas@wpr.org.